Welcome to Reboot with Dr. Arasi Marin. I'm your host, Dr. Arasi Marin. I'm an interventional cardiologist, and I have made it my mission to take my voice and my work outside the cath lab to everyone or anyone who wants to get their lives better and who believe in second chances and who want to reboot their health and their mind. Today, I'm going to talk on a topic which has been making the buzz around the social media circles, longevity. Everyone is talking about it. Peter Attia talks about the centenarian Olympics. Andrew Huberman talks about dopamine and sunlight. Casey Means talks about metabolic flexibility. All amazing, smart voices. But here's my lane, the one none of them have. I treat the consequences of failed longevity every day. I stand inside the human artery. I see aging in real time. I see inflammation, not on a blood test, but as clot being sucked out of a blood vessel. I see biology collapsing, not on a podcast graphic, but inside a living human heart. So yes, I am here to talk about longevity, but from the front line and not from the lab. This episode, I hope, will cut through the hype. We will talk about VO2 max, the supplement industry, the testing industrial complex, cognitive health, and five actionable steps you can take today to build a life of health, joy, peace, and purpose. But first, let me call out on something that's truly destroying the conversation. The social media fear machine. We live in a world where health content is engineered to scare you. Hooks like, you're aging wrong. You are killing your mitochondria. If your glucose spikes after rice, you are doomed. If you don't do a cold plunge by 6 a.m., your cortisol will explode. This one supplement will save your life. This one test will reveal the real truth. All this has created a culture of fake urgency, a sense if you don't take action by sunset tonight, then you are doomed to fail. But let's be real here. Longevity should never be sold with fear. Longevity should be built with intention. Fear makes you click. Fear makes you buy. Fear makes you over-test, over-supplement, over-obsess. But longevity, real physiological longevity, is slow. It's predictable, boring even. But it is built on consistency and not panic. If a wellness influencer has to terrify you to convince you, then it's not science, it's sales. So let's talk about the biology that really matters. So what is longevity? In my mind, the old wine prevention in a new bottle is what longevity is. Longevity is not biohacking, it's biology over time. If you strip away the noise, the strong predictors of long-term survival, things that consistently show up in every trial, every cohort, every meta-analysis are shockingly simple. Cardiorespiratory fitness, the number one predictor of survival, it's even better than cholesterol, better than blood pressure, better than BMI. A person with a high VO2 max can outrun a lot of disease, not metaphorically, but literally. Next, muscle mass and strength, not just for aesthetics, but for glucose disposal, mitochondrial health, insulin sensitivity, and surviving the unexpected stressors of life. Number three, metabolic stability. I'm not talking about blood sugar spiking after a banana. I'm talking about fasting glucose levels, insulin levels, visceral fat, your triglycerides, your blood pressure, your inflammatory high-sensitive C-reactive protein. These determine how old your arteries feel, regardless how young you are. Then finally, ApoB and endothelial function. This is a part of longevity influencers rarely talk about, but in the cath lab, it's everything. Inflammation decides what happens next. Endothelial dysfunction is the beginning of plaque. Insulin resistance accelerates it, and poor sleep destabilizes it. Longevity isn't ice baths or saunas. It's the state of your arterial wall, and that's real biology. Now, let's get into the supplement industry. Is it really science, or is it marketing, or is it wishful thinking? Let's talk about the $60 billion supplement industry, which somehow grew faster than cardiovascular disease itself. Here's the uncomfortable truth. 80% of the supplements have no clinical outcome data. There is no reduction in heart attacks. There's no actual extension of your lifespan. There's no improvement of your VO2 max or muscle mass. They're just mechanistic ideas dressed as cures. So let's come back to what actually works. What is the evidence say? We know omega-3 fatty acids is good for triglycerides and patients who are high risk for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. We have the Reduce IT trial, which talks about that. Vitamin D, if you are deficient, magnesium for sleep, cramps, constipation, creatine, great for muscle and brain energy, protein supplement, if your diet is inadequate, probiotic for specific gut issues, not for general health. But where the hype is more, which hasn't followed by evidence, is your NAD boosters. It's your anti-aging peptides, IV vitamin cocktails, random adaptogens, hormone balancers, detox supplements, anything that promises to reverse age you. I don't think the science is there as yet. And here's my favorite line. If your supplement label sounds like a Hogwarts spell, your arteries probably don't need it. Here's the reality I see in the cath lab. People don't get heart attacks because they forgot to take the resveratrol. They get heart attacks because their metabolic health has been declining for over a decade, very quietly. Supplements make us feel like we're doing something without actually requiring us to change anything, but that's seduction, not science. So let's talk about the most important thing which we can do and can improve on to make us live longer and healthier. VO2 max. That's the closest thing we have to a longevity cheat code. VO2 max is the most powerful vital sign you have never measured. If there's one metric that predicts how long you live, not in vague wellness influencer way, but in a statistically rigorous physiological way, it's VO2 max. So what exactly is it? VO2 max is the maximum rate at which your body can take oxygen from the air, deliver it through the lungs, pump it through the heart, shuttle it through your blood, extract it into the muscle, and use it inside the mitochondria to make energy. It is lungs, heart, blood vessels, muscles, mitochondria, working at their absolute limit. Think of it as your biological horsepower. It determines how much life load your body can handle, physical, metabolic, cardiovascular, and even emotional stress. Every 3.5 ml per kg per minute improvement in your VO2 max leads to a 12 to 15% reduction in mortality. That's insane. There is not a single medication that has shown to make a change of this magnitude. So if you ask me what is the most powerful thing I can do to extend my health span, it's not NMN. I will say protect your VO2 max like it's your retirement account. Zone 2 plus intervals is where the VO2 max actually can improve. But I am not going to sell you some smartwatch or a wearable so that you can track your VO2 max. There are functional clues which are incredibly reliable. They are incredibly reliable in figuring out where your VO2 max is. Let's talk about the talking test. Do a steady walk or jog. If you can talk in full sentences, you are in zone 2 territory. Great training zones. If you can speak only a few words, then you are in zone 3 or 4. If you can't speak at all, then you're at max VO2 max. This gives you an immediate sense of your aerobic ceiling. You want to be in the zone where you have to take a few breaths, but you can actually say the full sentence. And that tells you you are in zone 2. And the longer you are in zone 2, you are improving your VO2 max. Now, there's this thing called the 3-flight test. Climb 3 flights of stairs. If you reach the top, slightly winded, you're at a moderate VO2 max. If you're gasping after climbing three flights of stairs, your VO2 max is probably on the lower side. If you can climb five plus flights without stopping, you are above average anaerobic capacity. Great for you. But the goal is to climb three flights of stairs feeling moderately winded. Now, let me talk to you about the 12-minute Cooper test. This is what astronauts use, not some fancy wearable. Run or walk as fast as you can in 12 minutes. The distance predicts VO2 max with high accuracy. If you can only manage less than 1 mile, you are at a low VO2 max. 1 to 1.3 miles, fair. 1.3 to 1.5, average. 1.5 to 1.7, very good. And if you're above 1.7, you have excellent VO2 max, no wearables needed. Now, Peter Attia has made this grip strength almost become like a craze. He's not at fault because he explains what he means, but internet takes only what it wants, not the real science. So let's talk about how grip strength predicts longevity. Here's my tongue-in-cheek translation. Grip strength isn't magic. It's a proxy. If your grip is strong, it usually means you lift weights, you have a decent muscle mass, your nervous system is healthy, you're not frail, you can open a jar without calling for backup. So yes, grip strength correlates with longevity, but so does the ability to get off the floor without using your hands. Grip strength is not the one thing and the only thing. It's just one more data point in your whole metabolic powerhouse. But VO2 max, that's the whole neighborhood. So please note the difference between what grip strength means and what VO2 max means. Now let's get into blood testing or poop testing. Is there really science to it? This has become one of the most fastest growing industries in wellness, testing people into anxiety. Let me break it down. Excessive blood testing. Do we really need monthly hormone panels, inflammation panels, micronutrient panels, oxidative stress markers, monthly fasting insulin? Does it cause meaningful improvement in your longevity? No. Most of these have zero evidence that optimizing them improves outcomes. There are a few exceptions which are meaningful and have good evidence backing them. One is ApoB, hemoglobin A1C, fasting glucose and insulin, high sensitivity C-reactive protein, lipoprotein little a, and thyroid panel if you have symptoms suggestive of that. But everything else is biology cosplay. I'm sorry to break this bool. Now let's move on to stool testing. Oh my God, it has literally taken over the social media scene today. The microbiome is truly powerful. We are what our microbiome is. And we truly are designed by what our microbiome is too. So the science is absolutely real. But no stool test can tell you what to eat. No stool test can diagnose leaky gut, and absolutely no stool test can predict your longevity. Right now, microbiome testing is like reading tea leaves. Interesting, pattern generating, hypothesis building, but not actionable. We are at least a decade away from precision microbiome medicine. And all these current poop tests are probably feeding into some AI model and in a decade might tell us what to do. But right here, right now in 2025, we don't have the answer. The gut healing movement is now 90% marketing, 10% science. Now, what is the real danger? Testing often becomes a substitute for behavioral change. People think I'm optimizing my biomarkers, so I am doing great. But if you're doing all of that, supplementing with 20 different supplements and testing your poop and testing your blood work. But if your VO2 max is low, if your sleep is broken, your visceral fat is high, your diet is filled with ultra processed fast foods, your arteries do not care about your perfect micronutrient panel. Biology responds to habits, not spreadsheets. So here are my five actionable steps, call them a reboot framework, or five daily behaviors that hopefully creates a life of health, which ultimately leads to a life of joy, peace, and purpose. The goal is to make it simple, make it doable, and make it repeatable. Step one, protect your VO2 max, 2 to 3 sessions per week of zone 2 training, at least one session of high intensity interval training. Walk more, move more, move with intention. If you want longevity, protect the organ that makes longevity possible, your heart. Now, step two, build your metabolic stability. Eat protein-centered meals, 25 to 30 grams per meal. Lift 2 to 3 times a week. Focus on methods and steps to keep your visceral fat low. Regulate your blood sugar with muscle building, good sleep, and fiber. This stabilizes your endothelium. It stabilizes your brain. Step three, sleep like your life depends on it, because it does. 7 to 8 hours of sleep most days of the week. I'm on call, and the days I'm on call, I don't get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but I try to catch up on my sleep deficit. Life is not perfect, but you can aim for it. You aim for 8 hours and maybe you stop at 6 to 7 hours. Cool your room as much as possible. Limit your screen time before bed. Sleep is the nightly reset for your brain, for your heart, and your immune system. Step four, design a life that reduces emotional inflammation. This is the quiet killer no lab test can measure. You can measure your cortisol, but it does not measure the actual stress in your life. Cultivate boundaries. Remove the toxic people away from your life. Draw your boundaries, build a safe community, build joy, build peace, build gratitude. How do you do that? All I can tell you is mindfulness practice. In my previous podcast with Dr. Robin Tiger, she talks about how when you feel, you don't think. So feel more, feel the clothing on your skin, feel the breeze on your face. Just take a few minutes to reset your brain. I even joked about how I run to the bathroom and sit on the toilet and practice mindfulness. Whatever works for you. It sounds funny, it sounds quirky, but that's all I got. And you don't have to need a special yoga place and a special mattress and a special candle burning and et cetera, et cetera. Make it simple. Find what works for you. Before you get off your car and get into work, practice 2 minutes of mindfulness. Before you get off your car and into your house, practice another 2 minutes of mindfulness. When you're brushing your teeth, focus on everything and reflect and introspect on what happens in your day. Reduce your emotional inflammation. It's the biggest key in this whole thing, along with your VO2 max. Now, step five, find your purpose, not your panic. Stop fear buying supplements. Stop panic ordering blood tests. Stop believing every hook that says you're running out of time. Purpose steadies the physiology. Purpose regulates the stress response. Purpose creates adherence, and purpose makes longevity sustainable. So when I say purpose, let me explain what am I talking about. Find your why. Why is all these habits important for you? Why is building your VO2 max important for you? Why building your muscle mass is important for you? Why do you want to live longer? Is that because you want to enjoy the material benefits of living longer? But are you just afraid of death? Or are you afraid of having a painful life? figure out your why. That makes all the difference, and that will be the only reason why you stick to all the other habits. And here's what I know from several thousand hours in the cath lab. When a plaque ruptures, none of your biohacks actually matter. Your arteries don't award bonus points for cold plunges. Your endothelium does not care how many supplements or blood tests you have taken. Your plaque does not know who your favorite longevity influencer is. Longevity is earned in the quiet, boring, unsexy minutes of your day, in your workouts, in your meals, in your sleep, in your relationships, in your ability to manage stress, insulin, and inflammation. The truest longevity path is the one you can build, protect, and love. And the truest longevity path is the one you can build, protect, and live. And that is the mission of this podcast, to bring you the biology and the science that matters for someone who sees what happens when we get it right and when we get it wrong. I am Dr. Arasi Marin. This is Reboot with Dr. Arasi Marin, where your health gets another chance. I will see you in the next episode.